You're listening to Fakeologist Audio, a periodic audio where I explore the world of media fakery. You can find my blog at fakeologist.com, where you'll find all the links to the live stream and audio archives. You'll also find links to my sublogs, forums, email, PayPal, Twitter, and YouTube. We now use Discord for all our interactive audio and text. To join in on any live conversation, go to our main page and connect to the Discord server on the right, or visit bit.ly/fakechat. Now, here's your host, the Fakeologist, Avarado.
Hey everybody, it's January 19th, 2019, and this is my first podcast for this year. Thought I'd check in on this super cold and super snowy day on the north shores of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Canada. I don't do these audios that often anymore, mainly because of my very busy schedule. But I'm still here. I'm still plugging away at fakeologist.com, and I'm still interested in media fakery. And I still run the website, fakeologist.com, the blog, and I still administer the audio chats. I believe as of today, we're up to about 527 audio chats. I'm on a few of them, but not too many. And I thought tonight I would just check in for an hour or so. I'd open the phone lines. I do have phone lines now that are not Skype, my own phone lines. And I'll give the number out in case anyone is listening as they're driving along. They can punch it into their phone and save it if they want. If you want to save me some money, you can call me at 647-812-3917, 647-812-3917, or if you want to call in the toll-free number and cost me a little more money, it's 877-450-6447. Also, I am on the Discord. Right now I'm not connected because there is nobody there. If anyone does join in the Discord green room, I will possibly come in there to bring you in if I have time to talk. But those are the two main methods to connect. The Discord chat server, audio chat server and chat server, and the plain old telephone. And I could probably give my SIP address. Let me give my SIP address. If you have a SIP phone, SIP phone, you can also connect to me at 238-223@toronto.voip.ms. I believe that's how you can reach me. I'm pretty sure that's my phone number on the SIP service. So if you have a voice over IP protocol phone, a soft phone. And that brings me back to back in the day when I first started using soft phones on the computer. I believe it was called Netphone. And that was a cool phone because that was before Skype. And you could see where everyone was. People, if they wanted to, punched in their country. And then you could just go through a huge directory and start calling people randomly and seeing if they were online and seeing if they really were where they said they were. That was a long time ago. I know it was before Skype, and it was just a neat way of connecting to other people if you didn't have any of these other millions of ways of connecting with people. I think it was before most social media as well that I was using that, but I've been doing this a long time. I've been into the computer since the Apple II days in the late 70s. I had an Apple II Plus. And a micro modem, 300 baud, that's 300 bits per second, bits, as in 8 bits make a byte. So it takes a lot of bits to make a byte. So 300 bits per second, whatever that works out to, that's pretty slow throughput. I think it would take all night to get perhaps a game for your Apple II Plus through that modem. So it was super slow. But it was all they had at the time. for the home hobbyist, and that's what I was, and I know that cost big bucks back in the day. What am I working on now? Well, I said in many podcasts in the past that I was going to create a new landing page at fakeologist.com, because I have a feeling that when people hear the word fakeologist.com, they just go to the blog, which of course has lots of links, but it's super unclear as to where to navigate to if you just want to get to the heart of the matter in understanding what fakeologist.com is. I'm trying to figure out the best landing page, and I'm going to just put something up real quick and then probably just keep working on that over the next year, trying to hone it. If you have any ideas what somebody should see when they come to fakeologist.com, and it has to be catchy in the sense that most people spend only seconds analyzing a page. So I was thinking of putting just links where people could just go through the millions of links, most of them directed to fakeologist.com, just plain text links, similar to Ray West's site, which is just a link porium, super small links, not easy to see either, but I was thinking of doing that or maybe a version of that. But I know we only have seconds to catch people's attention, and I want to explain what fakeologist.com is to people. And if anyone wants to go to the blog, then they can just click a link on the main page. And so the new direct link to fakeologist.com, not sure what it's going to be. I thought it was going to be fakeologist.com/blog, but I don't think that works right now. So anyway, when you go to fakeologist.com, you'll get to the main landing page, and then they'll have to figure out what the link to the blog is going to be, because now I don't even know what it is right now. Right now, I guess it'll probably be fakeologist.com/blog if you read it directly. If you read it through an RSS feed, which is how I read all blogs, then you may wish to, then nothing should change for you. You'll just get it through the RSS feed. I use a reader called Feedly, FEEDLY.com. And you too can get your RSS feeds through that, or maybe a standalone program. But I use Feedly because it works on the Android device. All right, let me just look through the blog now and see. I've got lots of posts. It's been so long since I've gone through here, and I'm not too organized tonight. But I can look through some of these posts and talk to you about them, which is what I was going to do in the past with this weekly audio cast. That way those that don't have time to read the blog or have no interest and just want to listen to what I have to say, they can just listen to this podcast. I don't think this is going to be a regular podcast, because tonight I have extra time because I've changed my schedule for tomorrow due to the inclement weather here. It's super cold here. It's going down to minus 22 Celsius, which is getting close to similar numbers in Fahrenheit as the two scales diverge or merge at minus 40. So it's super cold, so I'm not going to be too busy in the morning tomorrow. So I have some time tonight, and there's no hockey game. So I thought I'd just check in. I don't think I'm going to be here every Saturday, but I just wanted to plug the phone numbers. If you do call these phone numbers in the week and I'm not too busy, I have the capability now to record the calls when I'm mobile, if you're just going to phone me. So that's another reason I wanted to come here and just let you know about that. And I wanted to let people know that we still have a PayPal account. It's not a big deal, but if you appreciate the work we do here, then you can send a small donation. We haven't been doing much here lately, so the donations are pretty slow. But I know some people still like to support independent media like I do, and I do pay it forward to a number of places. Mainly, I listen to the No Agenda Show at noagendashow.com, and that's where I get my mainstream media. And I did make a donation for the last year, last month, and they did read my plug. I don't know if I saved the damn thing. I think I might have. Let's see if I can play it here, if I can find it here. I'll just play Peter Jennings while we're waiting.
Or as these planes ended up where they ended up.
Well, thanks very much, Lisa Stark, who has given a very clear picture many times today on what precisely happened. There was at least as much as we know of what happened. Thank you. On board those planes, we do not very often make recommendations for people's behavior from this chair, but as Lisa was talking, I checked in with my children, and it... who are deeply stressed, as I think young people are across the United States. And so if you're a parent, you got a kid in some other part of the country, call them up. Exchange observations. People have been getting onto sites on the web, which is a very good...
What's this here? Do I
well, like of course, the worst, he's a demon.
Adam Curry.
Okay, yeah, that's it there. Okay, that was just Peter Jennings talking about 9/11. And he was just crying on command. Let's see if I can find the place here. Here we go. Here's my plug on
your
No Agenda
new shoes.
Show.
I've heard it differently. Is that the kid, is that the cat that shit on your shoes?
That would be the dirty version. Fakeologist. Our last associate executive producer is just fakeologist. And by the way, he obscured everything. I have no idea who this person is. He's fakeologist.
Well, you do know who he is. He's fakeologist. I don't know why he's trying to dig deeper into the whole topic there. But yeah, I don't. You know, this is the third donation I make, and I look at it this way. Since I listen to the podcast. I agree with her model. A magazine subscription costs about $200 a year from the old days. If people remember that, when you used to buy magazines and get subscriptions, so. For instance, if you had a weekly magazine like People, it costs at least $200 a year. So that's how I rationalize my donation. And if you donate $200 to the No Agenda Show, they do read your note, which is basically I just wanted to plug the fakeologist.com. And the main reason was I do get value from it. I do think they are doing things the right way with the way they're soliciting donations. Whether you think it's a honeypot or not, I know that John and Adam, they don't talk about or they gloss over these hyper-realistic drills portrayed as real, which is a hashtag that I've tried to promote. But nonetheless, I still think I got a few extra views on the website from the No Agenda Show, but probably not that many. But anyway, let me continue on with my plug here.
He
I think I blocked him on Twitter.
You did?
I think so. I mean, there's a guy named Fakeologist who I...
Yeah, he did block me because, again, I was hitting him up on Twitter asking him why, during certain shows, he would not mention that these are hyper-realistic drills in any which way. So after just mentioning Adam's Twitter handle in my tweets, which sends him an email... He decided to block it, so again, not a big deal. I don't think a lot of people are on Twitter.
Apologist who I think I blocked and unblocked and blocked. He gets some people.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Well, does he have a note? Do we know anything about him?
Yes, I have a note here.
Okay.
My blog.
And that's a dumb thing about it. I know they get lots of donations, so there's no real reason why he should remember this is the third donation I've made, but I mean, he makes it sound like he's never heard of me.
Fakeologist.com is all about exposing media fakery. Every major media event, you can go check it out, is a hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real, including 9/11. It was inspired by the least promoted video of all time, September Clues.
Yeah, so I got the plug in there, which is good. And I noticed in his show notes, and he does very good show notes, they did put a link to September Clues in there, which is fantastic.
shows that every bit of 9/11 video was prefabricated like a movie, including 9 and 11 second collapse from footage of Towers 1 and 2. You can watch it on YouTube or...
Right. Yeah, that is true. Most people don't remember that one little point that the collapse footage of Towers 1 and 2 was described as one being 9 seconds and one being 11 seconds. Can you see the joke in that? And I think they averaged it out to 10. And most newscasts said those two towers came down in about 10 seconds. Neither of which is probably physically possible, but it is when you create it as a movie or as CGI. Those collapse footages were not real. They were movie collapse footages. So I threw that little point in, and he read it over in such a pedestrian way that most people aren't going to see the point. But the words got out there.
Fakeologist.com. Meanwhile, can you call out douchebag Simon Shack? Douchebag.
Now, the douchebag is just a term for people that don't donate. And I don't think Simon is a douchebag in the sense of way most people think of the word. But in any case, I got Simon's name out there. And it's just a bit of a tribute.
Boy Polloy. Douchebag. And Napoleon Wilson.
Douchebag. Yeah, so I just threw that into Napoleon because he's a very active audio chatter on the site, so I just threw his name in there.
Have a good 2019. Fake colleges. He wants the following jingles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I should have told you this.
Yeah, so that's the other little dumb thing they do. They have these little jingle things that they play, and they make a big deal out of them. I suppose it just creates consistency across the shows and just to lighten up the discussion. But they play these jingles here.
It's earlier, sorry. Obama stuttering. If.
Yeah.
Beautiful yum, which is that going to be harder to find. We haven't used that for a while. I'm a rule follower. And Adam's favorite, WTC7 won't go away, and we.
Okay, I think I have most of these. Let's give it a shot.
If we fall for
beautiful, yum.
I'm a rule follower, so if the rule is that we have to do it, then I'll do it.
WTC7 won't go away.
You've got karma.
Well, I never asked for the karma jingle, but he played it anyway.
Excuse me. Debbie Doubter?
Well, you didn't get the we in there.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I didn't understand he wanted the we.
Yeah. But that was fantastic. I'm surprised you could find those that fast. But you did. That's our last associate exec.
There it is. There's the we.
All right. So that is the donation I made. And that was just to plug the site. But mainly just to thank those guys for creating their audio cast, which I do listen to and I do appreciate. Now, I do listen to other audio casts, and a lot of them, some of them I post on my other sublog, which is called moreab.fakeologist.com, which I don't always consider fakery related. So this is where I put my other posts, and I'm just looking at that blog now, and it goes all the way back to 2013. And some of the things I get audios from that I recommend and have recommended in the past. The Infectious Myth is another podcast I've donated to and I listened to, and it's quite fascinating. And they've got a couple of good shows lately where he is just talking about alternative medicine, and he's also the Infectious Myth basically is describing that, or born from the idea that there's no such thing as viruses, and instead viruses are cover stories for chemical poisoning or malnutrition, which I think are the two leading causes of illness in human beings. So I've interviewed David Crowe as well on fakeologist.com, and I do donate to his podcast, and therefore I do link to his podcast many, many times on morab.fakeologist.com. And he's got quite a few that I posted about on morab.fakeologist.com. Here's one here saying that the Milan Plague, he's going through history as well. And he was saying how the Milan Plague was really just malnutrition. Here's another thing on the polio, how again that was caused probably by DDT, which is now pretty much gone from major developed countries. There's another great one I posted called the Great Mefloquine Scandal, which is a drug that they gave to soldiers, Canadian soldiers in particular, before they went to Africa, Rwanda, to ward off malaria. And it caused all kinds of problems for the soldiers because it is a powerful toxin that may or may not do anything to prevent malaria. I don't know. So those are just three interesting podcasts I post on fakemoreab.fakeologist.com. And let's just see here. What else do I have? So let's go back to fakeologist.com right now. And I do have a couple new monthly donors at $1.19 a month. Matthew K is a new one. He's the latest new one that has joined and is donating. I have a few current ones that are still at $1.19, but most of the donors are past donors, and I haven't read them out lately, but I do leave them on fakeologist.com on the right side and thank them all for past donations in the past. All right, then. Let's go back to fakeologist.com. If you want to call me tonight, I'll be here probably for another half an hour at 647-812-3917 or 877-450-6447, or you can join in on the Discord and just go click on the green room. And should play some background music. I don't have my soundboard set up tonight, but I should do that so I can play some background music while I'm just trying to think. So we've got lots of audio chat. I post all the audio chats on fakeologist.com. I used to hide them because people were annoyed that they dominated the blog. But now, then I forgot that I hid them, and then people couldn't find them. So, unless they clicked on the category, and then they could see all of them. So I just decided to put them back. That was a couple of years ago. So now they just tend to dominate the blog, which may or may not be a good thing. But again, this is why I'm creating this new main page at fakeologist.com, just so people can go there and see what the whole idea of fakeologist is all about, what a fakeologist is, and the important links that I want people to click on, which would include September clues that I have on FakeTube. Let us click on this. Sometimes I think I should just, if I want to do, maybe I'm going to have to start doing this, is link to audios. Link to audios. Audio news reports, because most of my links are text news reports. But of course, the main success of the No Agenda show is they're constantly relying on news audio to fill their show. And instead of me reading the news report or trying to summarize it real fast on the fly, it might be better to play clips. But here's a post that I made a few days ago. Do I have the date? Do I have these things? Yeah, January 17th, 2 days ago. And it's about this, it's about a Netflix show called Bird Box. And don't ask me what it's about, because I do not have time for most video shows or Netflix. I have no time. In a way, I'm glad I have no time, because most of the stuff there is just huge time wasters. But the whole world is on Netflix right now. But the story of outrage, and since most stories are now all about outrage, it was just about how the show Bird Box used film footage or footage from the Lac Megantic rail disaster, which I think was a giant hoax. And they were just complaining that it was disrespectful of them to use such tragic footage for a fictional show. But as a ecologist, the irony is that I think most of the footage was, if not created I don't think it was filmed at the scene, but I'm sure there was a scene there. See, this is where it's difficult and confusing for even fakeologists to understand how they create these events. And like 9/11, something did happen that day, but most of the, if not all, the footage was created ahead of time in a movie studio or various street shots from New York and then broadcast as live. So I can't tell you exactly how they did the Lac Megantic hoax, in the sense that the footage that was filmed and used in this show Bird Box could have been from the actual fire scene, because I do believe they probably created some kind of fire, maybe at the scene, to burn down their small, tiny little village downtown. But that would have been after they evacuated the area. So that is the outrage, and the humorous irony for fakeologists is that the original footage was, if it wasn't fake in the sense that they created it in the studio under a controlled situation, then the event itself was staged. And the main good part about it is most likely nobody died and nobody got hurt. Which I don't know why people would be offended by that. People should be offended by the fact that the media, with the cooperation of the powers that be, the government of the day, should be outraged that they would stage such a thing and pretend people died. But the good news as a fakeologist is most likely nobody died. And why would anyone be offended by that? That seems insane. All right, another post I have here is Sandy Hoax, or Hook LARPer, Caitlin Roig, who was the famous elementary grade one school teacher. And I don't really see any of these videos on YouTube anymore, because all the main people that I used to look at aren't necessarily on YouTube anymore, and or I just don't click on the stuff anymore because I'm just sort of burned out by it. But there's still this website, a website called 153news.net. And they do host all some of the truthers that were kicked off YouTube. And one that has a really good entry, a musical beginning, is called Jefferson Girl, Jeffersonian Girl. And that person, that entity, whoever that is, did a pretty good video on Caitlin Roig. So I'll just play a bit of that.
It was early in the morning when the shots rang out. Your classroom was the first classroom at the school that the gunman would have seen. Did you know what was happening at the time?
Absolutely. It was 9:30 in the morning on our Friday, and our classroom was in such close proximity.
Now, I don't know when this clip was. I don't know if Caitlin Roig is still going out there promoting the hoax that's called Sandy Hook, but this particular channel, Jeffersonian Girl, they play the clips and they just put text overlays, so you never hear from the Jeffersonian girl entity that creates these videos. But very good stuff, quite well done. And I did post that, and I am going to put that on FakeTube as well. Definitely going to put that on FakeTube just in case their channel disappears from this 153news.net. May or may not last that long. But for anyone that's wondering, Sandy Hook was just another staged event. There's so much material on it. It's just a widespread thing that may inevitably and has lately caused Alex Jones great grief, because Alex Jones is the what I would call controlled opposition truther. And he has been promoting that no one died and no one got hurt at Sandy Hook and saying it was a hoax, which we all agree with. But I guess it's the way that Alex Jones represents himself as just this maniacal lunatic that makes it easy to hate, makes it easy for the average person to hate him. And I don't know if he said anything super inflammatory that I doubt would be illegal, but it's enough to be offensive, quote unquote, to major advertisers. So he gets thrown off different websites that people are on, like YouTube. They call it deplatforming. But I don't think he can be charged with anything significant. But the point is, he, in my opinion, is controlled in the sense that he doesn't talk about 9/11 as a HRDPR, although he does pretty much agree with our position, that position on Sandy Hook, which is kind of ironic. But they're using him as an example to get everybody in, to get people like him into trouble. And they make him look like a fool, which is to make everyone who questions these things look like a fool. And anyone that talks like him can easily be dismissed because they are linked by association, just by with the topics they talk about, with Alex Jones, who has been identified as dangerous and crazy and therefore deplatformed from all the favorite social media sites that most people consider the internet. Most people think that the internet is Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. They don't realize, or there might be a whole generation that does not realize, that you can just go directly to certain websites. You can actually type in a URL. Although it is easily conflated, Google does it all the time. They confuse URLs with search terms. And I've noticed that people, and it might even be the way that it's set up on phones right now, where it says type in the search or the URL in the same place. And if you type it into the search bar, then Google can manipulate that URL, and instead of taking you right to the URL, it takes you to the search result page where you have to click on the link to verify that's where you want it to go. Now, the other problem then is that if Google doesn't like your website or the URL that you typed into the search bar instead of the URL bar, which may not exist anymore because they might have merged it with the search bar, then they might block you from going to that site or make you jump through a couple extra hoops to get to the site by saying, are you sure you want to go to this very dangerous site? And I'm sure fakeologist.com will probably be listed as a quote-unquote dangerous site. And unless you read the fine print on the screen to add me as an exception, add fakeologist as an exception, you might not even get to the site. Or you might not find the correct thing on Google to click and just give up. So that is their insidious way of blocking people. It's not a direct way, but it's literally creating red tape or red click boxes to make it impossible to get to the website. So it's just, it's just very interesting how they can basically mute or disable or quasi-block websites. But again, the average new person today, young person, millennial, whatever you want to call them, they may not be aware that you can actually go to a website directly without relying on Facebook or YouTube or Instagram. So maybe you should teach your children how to use the internet instead of letting the apps just take over and do the teaching. But again, my position is that Sandy Hook was just yet another very, very well done, complex, heavily, heavily promoted drill portrayed as real. Should play my old 55 music as I switch over to the next topic of all these clips, transition clips. Let's see here. What's this one? What's Alex saying here?
But you know how after Sandy Hook, it's like every other person seems to think everything's a total hoax, and I know that's not what you think. But what I'm curious about is, do you think that there's a new level of sophistication with a lot of these false flags where they plant a couple of pieces of, you know, flimsy evidence that get everybody talking and steer them in the wrong direction?
When you're trying to decipher cloak and dagger, dirty tricks, it's pretty hard to do. It's just that when you learn that they were funded by Western funding, then you learn that it was the same Amarola Lockheed Connection underwear bomber. Then those are big red flags that they were patsy provocateurs. The classic MO has been followed. And then, yeah, it kind of becomes a red herring, you know, to say the whole thing was staged. Because they have staged events before. But then you learn the school had been closed and reopened, and you got video of the kids going in circles in and out of the building, and they don't call the rescue choppers for 2 hours, and then they tear the building down and seal it, and they get caught using blue screens, and a email by Bloomberg comes out in the lawsuit where he's telling his people, get ready in the next 24 hours to capitalize on a shooting. So Sandy Hook is a synthetic, completely fake, with actors, in my view, manufactured. I couldn't believe it at first. I knew they had actors there, clearly, but I thought they killed some real kids. And it just shows how bold they are that they clearly used actors. I mean, they even ended up using photos of kids killed in mass shootings here in a fake mass shooting in Turkey. So, yeah, or Pakistan. The sky is now the limit. I appreciate your call.
I don't know when that was from, but I guess Alex has been saying for quite a while that pretty much it was a hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real. And that's why Alex Jones looks, sounds a lot like fakeologists to the average person. And when he does stuff like that, it makes it very difficult to see the difference. I can totally understand why people can't confuse the two, us and them. I don't listen to Alex Jones anymore. Maybe at the very beginning when I started doing this in 2012, listened to him, and he's amazing in the sense that he can put out that much audio 3 or 4 hours a day. I can barely talk for an hour. Now, as you can hear, I'm out of practice as well, so almost out of breath, just trying to read my own blog. So it definitely is a skill to be able to yap for an hour. And he does, in addition, yelling and screaming and gesticulations, and he's on TV now. He's videoing himself. So that's an even extra level to try and do every day. So there is no doubt that he is amazing in that sense, doing what he does. Now, what else do we have here? I've got lots of clips that I haven't lined up at all, but I'll give the boys at the Fart Podcast a plug, because since I haven't been on audio in a long time on my own, I have been listening to that podcast as well, and that's done by Rolo and Velocet. And they're two pretty big Fakeologist fans, and Velocet does a great job producing. He's a radio guy. And I know Rolo always wanted his own radio show, because he likes radio too. So he recruited Velocet, or Velocet recruited him, I don't know which way. But they do a pretty entertaining podcast, and they're Australians, and they do occasionally talk about Fakeology. And Velocet does a great job playing clips and sound drops, many of them from the Howard Stern Show, that if you listened to that in the past, which I do not anymore, you will appreciate him grabbing some of those sound effects. And they actually did a pretty good call. Velocet and Rolo call the John Law Show all the time. And they got him to say fakeologist.com. And I don't know if I have that clip. I can see if I can find it here. If you go to fakeologist.com, you can search. You can search on the fakeologist.com website for certain search terms. So let's see if I've got it here. I think I do. Well, I think I'll play it while I'm looking around here.
Okay, who we got? Rollo, are you there?
Yeah, Jono, how are you doing, man?
I'm all right, thank you.
Still good? Look, it's lovely to hear you back. You're still number one here in Newcastle?
Yeah, of course we are.
QAC?
Yeah, of course we are.
You are, you are. You are. You'll always be number one here, mate.
Okay.
More donkeys than airplanes? You killed by more donkeys than airplanes?
Yeah.
That was your useless fact this morning?
That's quite right, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Last time we spoke, I wanted to talk about, you went off air on September 10th, right?
What did I do?
You didn't go on air on...
So this is Rolo right now, and he's talking to John Laws. I have this as 35 minutes. I don't know why I have this from why this clip is 35 minutes long. But this is all the way back to September 24th last year, so I can't really remember it. But anyway, I'll just play a bit more.
September 10th was the last time you were on air, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was, because I wanted to talk to you on September 11th.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
Now, September 11th's a difficult subject, but I want your listeners to hear me out. Will you give me some freedom of speech?
Well, I don't know what you're going to say. I can't make up my mind.
I'm going to say things that might be a little bit controversial, but if you offer freedom of speech, this is not hate speech. It's freedom of speech, and you say you have freedom of speech, right, on air?
Yeah.
Okay. So how about if I say that on September 11th, 2001, 17 years ago, the towers were brought down by controlled demolitions? Is that hate speech or what?
It's stupid speech.
Stupid speech?
Hmm.
Are you going to call me a conspiracy theorist?
If you want me to.
I don't want you to.
Okay.
I just know that you are a fabulous guy. And look, if I say no planes hit the towers that day, and it was all CGI? Is that freedom of speech?
Yes. Well, freedom of speech, you can say whatever you like. That's what freedom of speech is all about. I mean, the fact that you're talking nonsense is immaterial.
No, it's not nonsense, though.
So you're telling me that no airplanes hit those towers?
No. That was all CGI, mate. It was all CGI.
I see.
Yeah. And there were
no
one got hurt.
What about all the bits of the building landing in the street and hitting people on the head?
All turned to dust. That's CGI.
And people screaming and yelling and running. All that.
I want your listeners to call in after you hang up on me. And hopefully give you a good conversation, because I want the morning to go well for you, because I'm still glad you're on air, but I'm telling you, there is absolutely no chance that planes can fly at 500 miles per hour at that low altitude. It's just impossible.
Well, it isn't impossible at all.
Anyway, I think this is Rollo's best call to John Laws. I know he's called him a lot over the years. And this is exactly what I think needs to be done to the mainstream to get it. If anyone's still listening to mainstream radio or TV, this is the most effective type of call, I think, that you can do.
A dive, they can travel it more than that.
No, I'll disagree with you there, because if you look at all the footage.
Okay, so it's some kind of conspiracy theory that you're offering me. So who set the whole thing up? Who's responsible?
I don't know who is in the top job who's responsible, but I know that John Howard was our prime minister at the time.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, and he was over there, yeah, that's right, when no plane hit the Pentagon either. And Glenn Milne, remember Glenn Milne?
I do, yeah,
yeah,
but...
He was looking out the window, and yeah, like, seriously, there's a lot of problems with the mainstream media, and I know you're a part of it, but you have.
I know you can get
over it because you're a good guy.
John Howard was in Washington.
He was, yeah. So he could see out of the window when the no plane hit the Pentagon. Yeah, and he got five frames.
But they did. I mean, they found the plane in the field.
No. Oh, Shanksville?
Yeah.
No way.
Anyway, why are you telling me all this?
Because you are for freedom of speech. Tell me what's on your mind, Australia. 1-300-564-652. You are someone who gives everyone a voice. And certainly here in Newcastle, you are still number one. And I just appreciate a chance to say what's on my mind.
Okay, well, you've had your chance. Don't take the same opportunity again for a while, Rollo.
All right, mate.
Okay.
You going to hang up on me?
Only if you want me to.
No, I don't.
Have you finished speaking?
Well, like I said, if your callers, 1-300-564-652, on 2SM Super Radio Network, will call in and... discuss 9/11 in a deep and meaningful way. In a deep, not just call people names, because calling people names is a waste of time.
Well, I haven't called you any names yet.
Well, you didn't call me a conspiracy theorist, though, and I thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a good guy, John. And look, I'm glad like you're on the air. I have the highest respect for you, and I'm not Norman. I'm not Norman. I don't even want Norman to call in today, but I want all your listeners on 2SM and in Sydney and in Newcastle to call in and discuss 9/11 in a deep and meaningful way.
Isn't it a bit done to death? 9/11, for Christ's sake.
I know it was 17 years ago, but I know it's been done to death, but, you know, Alex Jones being taken off the air is a massive loss. And look, as much as I don't like the guy,
who's been taken off the air,
Alex Jones on Infowars.com. I'm on Fakeologist.com, but Alex Jones is on Infowars.com. I don't like him much. You know, he always says 9/11's an inside job.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're a good guy. I mean,
you keep telling me that.
Yeah. Look. look, you're number one, radio number one. I mean, all these years, and I wouldn't wee on Alan Jones if he was on fire. But
no.
I like you. Yeah.
Okay, well, I still don't want you to piss on me.
1-300-5-6-4-6-5. All right. I wonder if this next one, it might be Joel or Velasic calling.
1-300-5-6-4-6-5-2. Ben, are you there?
Hello, John.
Yes, Ben.
Oh. Following up from the 9/11 thing, John.
Well, this is what Rollo did. So he actually inspired someone else to call in, which is pretty cool.
He said a lot of interesting things. I think he lost a lot of people when he started talking about the CGI. The computer-generated imagery
that he
says is responsible for the planes. And you just read a remark of a person who had a friend there at 9/11 who saw clearly planes flying through the sky.
Yeah.
Now, those planes may have clearly been flying through the sky. Whether they were holograms or not, we assume they weren't. But we can't be definitive. So what the gentleman didn't raise is, pyroclastic flow happened in New York City, John. You know all that voluminous dust that spread out across and blanketed Manhattan and lower Manhattan and went across the Hudson River after the towers came down?
Yes.
Well, that's known as pyroclastic flow. And the signature of pyroclastic flow is similar to what you see with volcanic eruptions, like Mount St. Helens. Those voluminous mushroom clouds ever expanding, filled with condensed hot particles of dust that burn everything in its wake. Well, we know a volcano didn't erupt in Manhattan on 9/11.
We do.
So the only other signature, much like when a detective arrives at a crime scene and finds a bullet casing on the ground, they safely assume that a firearm has been shot there, and so they've got the evidence left of it. Well, similarly, John, pyroclastic flow is a signature trace of controlled demolition. So when he spoke about controlled demolition, the buildings came down in controlled demolition, that's pretty much accurate because we understand the science for the free fall, them falling into their footprint, for the resulting pyroclastic flow. What we don't understand is who the hell put the demolition charges in the buildings beforehand.
Well, that's what we don't understand. But Mohammed Attar and his mob said that they were responsible for it because he flew the aeroplane.
Yeah, he takes responsibility for flying the aeroplane into the building. He doesn't take responsibility because he's dead, we assume, for planting the bombs in the building because he wasn't in New York City prior to hopping on the plane flying it into the building.
Okay, so Ben, why are we going through all this again? Why are you telling me this?
Oh, a gentleman raised the issue. There are some certain significant discrepancies with the official story regarding 9/11. The Pentagon is another thing entirely. The Pentagon is the most heavily fortified secure building on the face of the planet, and it was in 2001. Washington, D.C. is the most heavily fortified and defended airspace on the planet, and it was in 2001. Andrews Air Force Base, where Air Force One and many other Air Force fighter jets which patrol Washington, D.C., is located only 3 miles away from the Pentagon and is fully staffed, tasked with protecting the defense space. The Pentagon has surface-to-air missiles mounted on its roof to prevent any type of incoming projectile striking those revered targets, the White House and the Pentagon.
Okay, but Ben, why are you telling me all this?
Well, the gentleman raised 9/11. I'm telling you these things. There are serious questions that need to be asked in regards to the official story. We're never going to find out who was truly responsible. Those people were dead and gone. And remember, Barack Obama had Navy SEAL Team 6 find
him. Okay, but tell me.
Kill him and bury him at sea.
Look, give me one good reason why anybody would want to fake 9/11. Give me one good reason.
To justify a war?
Well, it didn't start a war, did it?
Well, it justified. John, we could not have had the coalition of the willing. This nation wouldn't have been involved in the war on terror beforehand. As soon as Bali happened, we were all good to go. After Madrid, Spain happened, the Spanish were good to go to join the coalition of the willing. After 7/7 in London, they were willing to join the coalition of the willing. John, we launched a war, man. And without 9/11, that justification wouldn't have been there. For any society to remain cohesive and strong,
Okay.
All this is very interesting and semi-convincing, only semi-convincing. But tell me this, there's absolutely no reason why anybody would want to fake the 9/11 disaster. What advantage would come out of faking that disaster?
Trillions of dollars. The biggest business on the face of the planet is the war business. Armaments and weaponry can only be replaced once it is rendered obsolete. The only place it can be rendered obsolete is in the field of battle. And the biggest budgets come from and the biggest profits come for weapons defense contractors from war and the theater of war. And when you have an ever-expanding war with an ever-elusive fleeting phantom terror, who is caves in Tora Bora, John, you're asking why profit made. Billions of dollars are made. Larry Silverstein himself, who was the leaseholder of the World Trade Center complex, he tried to get $7 billion in insurance after the fact. He only was actually paid out $2 billion, but he'd only paid $100 million on a 99-year lease on the entire complex. So he made $1.9 billion alone.
I see. So the people who lost their lives, that doesn't matter too much. Their families, that doesn't matter too much either, eh?
No, that matters. They're very important. That's the reason why we have to ask these questions and address it seriously. There were people that profited off the atrocity of those people, and they rendered those people collateral damage.
Okay, so
they are people, and they deserve the right to be remembered, and they deserve to be investigated if there were any... if there was any foul play here, John. Those 3,000 people that perished, they deserve that. They deserve us to ask questions about why they perished and who stood to gain from it.
All right. Well, that's your opinion, as it always is, Ben. That's what I say to you every time you call. But I think it's crazy. I think you're crazy.
Well, you don't have to think that. You can look up architects and engineers for 9/11. There's over 5,000 internationally renowned PhD architects and engineers that are on record saying that it didn't occur the way it did. They've done the investigations themselves. That's
Now you've qualified the statement by saying they are saying it didn't occur the way they said it occurred. Well, that's probably right.
No, the official... in regards to when I say that, I'm talking about the way the buildings came down. The buildings didn't come down as a direct result of fire in a pancake fashion. They were brought down in controlled demolition.
Okay, and how do we explain away the 2,753 people who lost their lives? 2,753 people dead.
I know, and it's an atrocity, and they were brought down as collateral damage in that building. There has to be a significant enough death tally
collateral
to justify an even bigger response. And let's not forget, conservatively, we have eliminated over 1 million women and children as collateral damage in the war on terror alone, and that's a conservative figure. So we're not playing, it's not apples and oranges here, John. One life lost is far too many for the wrong reason. So don't mistake me. But it's called Architects and Engineers, 9/11 Truth. Otherwise, you can just question or jump onto, I think it's called Patriots Question 9/11. You've got the former head of NATO Alliance Defense, four-star United States generals.
Why are you obsessed by this thing, Ben?
Oh, John, because I was a young guy. I watched 9/11. I saw Sandra Sully come on TV that night. I watched the whole thing. I couldn't believe it. My whole paradigm changed. I wanted to kill the terrorists. I was all for it when we were hunting Saddam Hussein in spider holes in Baghdad. And then I got into it so much that I started studying international security, terrorism, and counterterrorism at university. And in about my third year studying that, we learned about a thing called false flag terrorism and state-sponsored terrorism. And then we found out who actually funds terrorist groups and who formulates groups such as Al-Qaeda, etc., and how they're utilized on an international stage to galvanize and unify society behind something, an attack or a response, which otherwise that attack taking place wouldn't be justified. And it's known as false flag terrorism. So I found out about all that stuff at a university level, John, and studied it all. I had friends that went and worked for ASIO and ASIS.
Yeah, well, all of this stuff is, this is your stock in trade, Ben, isn't it?
I love it. I do love geopolitics, but I love Trump even more. Good on you, Johnny. Thanks for being back, mate. No, I appreciate it.
Okay, tell me what's on your mind. 1-300-564-652. Joel, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, John.
Good morning, Joel.
How are you going? It's good to have you.
This is Velasette calling in. So, yeah, another good call. This is quite a... I didn't realize there's 35 minutes of 9/11 stuff, but I'm going to play this, And then I'm, unless anyone calls in tonight, I'm going to end on this. Oh, this will just be today's small taste of the, of my return podcast. I know it's a little rusty tonight, but I just wanted to play a few clips.
Thank you.
How was your break?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, looks like I have a call. Better catch this. You're talking to a fakeologist. I gotta accept that. Hello, fakeologist.
Hello, my name is Margaret, and I got an email for you to call this number.
Hi, Margaret. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well. You're one of the first callers calling in on the fakeologist phone line. What number did you call?
877-450-6447.
All right. And you got that because you're a member at fakeologist.com?
I believe so, yes. You sent me an email. It's hard. Sometimes I forget my password, so I can't get on Discord and stuff like that. So.
Oh, very, very good. Well, I sent everyone an email, but you got one as well.
Yeah.
Everyone got it. Well, thanks for calling in. We're just playing a little bit. How long have you been a fakeologist?
Probably 4 years.
4 years? Wow. Well, I don't get a lot of females, so this is fantastic. I see by your area code you're calling from 613.
Yep.
That's Canada.
Yeah, it is. It's in Trenton. Well, near Trenton.
Oh, fantastic. I've been to Trenton, home of our big military in Canada. One of the big Air Force base. I guess that's the biggest industry in your little town there down the lake there from me.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, everything's going away. There's no jobs anymore. So.
Oh, military. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Cold one tonight, isn't it?
Oh, my fingers are freezing. I was just outside. I was trying to call you from outside. And.
Oh, this is fantastic. So how, what do you look at on the fakeologist site? What interests you? How did you get into fakeology? And yeah, this is great.
Actually, it was you. Years ago, there was the, when the guy was kidnapped and killed in, somebody had a test drive in his vehicle.
Oh, the Tim Bosma case.
And I went looking to see if anyone else thought that was funny, like it was odd. And I found you.
Oh, wow. Yes, yes. So you came at it strictly from a Canadian angle. Yeah, yeah, that was, exactly. Okay.
Yeah, and I can't place when I actually thought that the news was fake, but when I saw that and I thought, hang on a minute, that doesn't look right. And especially when they burnt bodies and things like that, and I think it's getting a bit salacious, it's getting a bit silly. Like they said that there was a furnace or something on his property, and then it was just getting ridiculous. And I looked to see if anyone else thought it was weird, and you were the only one. And I thought, well, I'm not mental then.
Very good. Yeah. Well, for you to look up a Canadian story and find me is almost miraculous in the sense that I don't find that there's hardly any Canadians questioning the crap that they're served in our media. And one might think, well, we're not big enough for anyone to fake stories here because no one's really paying attention. So their audience would be so small that it would hardly be worth the effort. But I think the Tim Bosma case was in Ancaster, which is an area that I travel around. I travel all around the Golden Horseshoe here. It's on the western end of Lake Ontario in Toronto area. And I believe that case came up maybe in 2012, 2013, which is the year that I found out or discovered for myself that 9/11 was phony, a big stage event. So it was so easy for me to see the smaller stories as being hoaxed or faked or staged that one I guess, confirm or fit my confirmation bias immediately.
Yeah, yeah. So it's longer than 4 years for me then. It's 5 or 6.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because they're stretching out the Tim Bosma case even to this year, because I think one of the guys that allegedly killed him was Dellen Millard, I think, a very strange name. And here's the other funny thing, because that guy allegedly is from a neighborhood that I grew up in, literally streets over. Now, I never heard of the guy, but allegedly he killed his father. So they were just allegedly convicted in Toronto within the last month. I think he was convicted of killing his father, even though he's already in jail for killing Tim Bosma. I think they just sort of reactivated that story to bring up his name again.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So you sound like you're probably in my, you know, just as a quick voice judgment here, that you sound like you're approximately my age, or maybe in and around.
Yeah, a bit older, yeah.
Or maybe a bit older. I didn't want to say that because you're a woman and it's disrespectful in the sense. But therefore, you should be familiar with the Paul Bernardo case.
Yes. When you find out, or you kind of wake up and you go, hang on. And then you look back, you think, well, obviously that was fake too. That Bernardo thing, they were trying to link it with the guy in Trenton, the head of the base.
Yes.
Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah. Trying to link them two together, and it's like, what is this, a soap opera? And
yes.
The thing, it was weird when that, what was his name? The guy on the base, he was the head of the base, and he supposedly killed two women, one in Brighton, which is just up the road from us.
And no, I know Brighton. I've been to Brighton. I used to pickups, and there's a warehouse in Brighton I used to come to. I think it's some kind of that chemical company. There's not too many businesses in Brighton, but I've been there many, many, many times to two trucking pickups there. I can't remember the name. They changed the name of the company there. But yeah, Colonel somebody. I can't remember either, but that is probably another phony case where allegedly he stalked some woman up in Tweed, I think, which is north of you.
Yeah.
And allegedly the whole case was cracked by a frozen footprint that looked a lot like the footprint of the man on the moon, you know, that phony footprint. You talk about fake phony footprints of the past. So, it might have been a tire track that was, the guy used a unique tire and they identified the car via the tire. Completely unbelievable. But that's how they found the colonel who allegedly killed the woman in the woods, in a house, in an isolated area north of where you are in Tweed, which is just a very small place in the frozen north, up north of you there. I can't remember that guy's name. Are you still there? I think we lost Margaret. Okay, no wonder it went quiet. She's probably on her cell phone like the rest of the world. Let's just play a little more. That was pretty neat, getting a phone call. I didn't think we'd get any phone calls tonight, but we got one. Let me just play a little more of the Rollo show. Or actually, who do we have there? We had Velicet calling. Another fantastic call, and that's why I'm playing it. Now, Rollo and Velicet played it on their own podcast called The Fart Podcast. You can search for The Fart Podcast. I've linked to it. It's more entertaining than it is informative when it comes to fakeology. But, you know, as long as they mention fakeologist and or are in the spirit of fakeology, I like to listen to it. I'm not as critical as some people think that it should be just pure fakeology. I like the fun, good-naturedness of it.
Break.
It wasn't a break. I was crook. I was in hospital.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, don't be sorry. It's okay. I was in the wonderful St. Vincent's Hospital, and they took very, very good care of me.
Hi. I was on my cell phone. I ran out of time, so...
Oh, yeah, yeah, you just disappeared. I didn't know what you last heard, but I can't remember the name. We can just search for it. I use seerx.me for searching. Colonel in Trenton murder. Let's just see what it brings up. Russell Williams.
Russell Williams, yes. The thing, I went into one of my local stores, and there was a picture of him wearing the underwear, and I just had to laugh, and I thought, what have we come to?
Oh, right. That was a big part. What, he put the underwear on his head or something?
Yeah, what a joke. It's like, what have we come to? This is journalism now?
Well, was there really ever any journalism?
Oh, I don't think so. I honestly don't. I don't. But then I was saying to my son, because he's kind of waking up to it, it isn't for us. It's for people out of the country, because there's people in Frankfurt that they're saying they did this, they did that with arms and stuff, and it's like, it's not for us, because we know they didn't do it if there is an actual person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not for us, it's for other countries to look at and say, look what's going on in Canada.
Yeah. You sound like you have a British accent.
Yeah, I came over here in 1983.
Oh, wow. What part of England are you from? Because we have so many English people over here on the blog.
Yeah, well, now they call everything London. But mm-hmm. we came from... There's lots of people that... Famous people that came from Sutton, which is where I was born.
Sutton, you said?
Sutton, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
In Surrey.
Right,
so
Surrey,
you know,
Sutton.
You know where they do the horse racing in Epsom?
No.
Oh, okay.
I know nothing about horses.
Oh, well, that's where the gentry go in Epsom.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Well, I detected the accent. We've got a lot of English people on this blog and on the audios. We've got, and of course, they're all over the place in Germany. And yeah, it's great. Do you listen to the audio chats here?
I do.
Wow. So you subscribe, you listen to a lot of the shows, I guess.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. Matty, and because he's in Germany, right?
Yeah.
And I was speaking to Napoleon, is it?
Oh, you spoke to Napoleon?
Yeah, but I was on Discord, and I didn't have earphones, and I just had a lot of echo.
Oh, what name do you use on the Discord?
Well, it was MAGA, and he said, well, that's not a very good name. And I said, but that was my nickname. My brother used to call me Maggot.
Maggot. Oh, God.
Yes.
I'm just looking through here. Oh, yes, I see you were on this month. This is, okay. Yeah, yes. Maggot.
Yeah, I know. And I thought, well, I don't know how to change it. Because when I first did it, because that's my password a lot of the time is Maggot. Because my brother used to call me Maggot. He loved me, though.
That's nasty, nasty brother. I don't know if you're still on the server, because you might have left.
Yeah, I forget the passwords and stuff. So.
Yes, yes. Well, just as a technical term, if you want to remember passwords, there's a program called RoboForm. There's millions of programs actually out there, but RoboForm is a great password manager if you don't want to keep track. Okay.
Yeah.
So was that your first audio that you did this month? Is that your first attempt to talk to anybody?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, because I used to listen to the girl from Liverpool, but she's not been on there lately.
Not sure who that is. There's been a few.
There's just two women.
Oh, Rachel.
Rachel, yeah, she hasn't been on there lately. So.
No, Rachel left.
Oh, is she?
Actually, she wrote me a nice email. I'm not saying anything really out of turn. She just said she got everything she wanted from the website, and she's leaving. And she was a donor to the site. So I know she had a strange audio with us towards the end that she was on with a few of us. I don't think it was recorded. But she was just behaving strangely. We couldn't figure out what she was trying to say. And then she came back and then she just said that she's leaving. She got everything she wanted from the site. So I thank her for her contributions. I have nothing against her, and I certainly can't make people stay. People come and go. I think females are a little more likely to come and go from the site, where the males are maybe more tolerant of the nonsense that goes on.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, oh, I don't really want to talk to people like that. It's like,
yeah, there's a lot of drama. A lot of drama. And really, all I don't want to hear about drama. I just want to hear about Fakeology. And, yeah, so if you can't put up with the nonsense, I mainly just ignore it. And I try to ignore it. But if you can't put up with it, then I think females have a lower tolerance. They'll just leave. So,
yeah, it's a shame.
It is.
Yeah. Well, how come FaZe? I haven't heard her lately.
Well, she pretty much has left as well. I guess she, I don't know if she didn't like an answer I gave to her about something, or she just thought this whole thing was another, some kind of trap or some kind of controlled situation. So I can't, so I guess she just was uncomfortable with me or with the site. So she decided to leave, so. I don't always get an explanation directly. Sometimes I have to guess a little bit.
Yeah.
So people don't owe me any explanations at all, so it's not, I don't expect it, but I just thank everyone for their contributions, and I realize that not everyone wants to stick around, so I have no hard feelings, really, for anyone. This is hard information to digest and consume, and
thing is that you don't have a huge presence on there, so sometimes they get upset with other people and not you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And I think it's Napoleon, isn't it, from Manchester?
Manchester.
Yeah, he's getting a bit sick of people just reiterating stuff and not bringing in. Yeah.
Well,
it's not you. It's other people, right, that's making people mad. And
yeah, but I think people think because I host the site that I'm responsible for everything.
Yes, I know.
And I can't really. I'm not. I can't be.
No, and the thing is, we're all grown-ups. It's not.
Yes.
You know, you're not responsible for anybody being offended by anything. It's like, well, tell them then.
I really can't. I really can't. And I don't want to. I don't want the responsibility. I just provide a forum. I consider myself more like a common carrier, like Bell or Rogers or any of the cable companies in the world. I don't really think I should be responsible for the content. And I certainly don't edit very much, if at all. And if someone is making someone else mad, then you guys have to deal with it on your own. I'm not the moderator in that sense.
No.
But I'm glad you're able to see through and understand that. That's good.
Well, that's the thing. It's like when you realize everything is fake, it's like, well, then just grow up and just tell people. No, I don't believe you. You're not going to offend me by that because I know it's not true. And that's the thing. It's like when people like say the earth is flat, I believe it's flat. I don't care what you say. I don't care what evidence you bring to me. In my heart, I know it's flat. So just you believe what you believe and I believe what I believe.
Yeah, I don't know why people get all upset if someone holds beliefs that are contrary to theirs. I don't expect one other person in this entire world to have the same set of beliefs as I do. And And there's so many things to believe in. And there's so many complex issues that are being confused by the people that are supposed to clarify, then there is no way I'm going to match your beliefs totally. Yeah. It's not possible. But I think if we all agree on the underlying idea that the major media stories are mostly fabricated, then that's pretty good. That's a great source. That's a great amount of agreement that we have. So we... Yeah. I think anyone that hangs out at Fakeologist has that basic disbelief of the media. That's enough. Now, the flat earth really isn't fakeology, but the type of person that could entertain challenging the official story of the shape of the earth is most likely a fakeologist. Because now we know, the main thing that we realize here, and that I realize here, is that human beings can be fundamentally fooled most of the time. Now, I accept that. I don't know why that is. There's something wrong, maybe physically, with the way we decode our surroundings. But the people that can control us know this and take advantage of it. And why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
They can capitalize on it. They know how easy it is to fool most of the people most of the time. Mm-hmm. And the 9/11 proved that to me. It's proof. So all these other stories, all these other fundamentals that we believe, it's easily possible as a fakeologist for me to believe that they may not be true. Now, I don't know what the alternative truth is, but I just know that we can be fooled. And that includes the shape of the earth.
Yeah.
So that's powerful.
But it's funny, when I realized that 9/11 was fake, and that I was watching the video back of the smoke and all that, and I thought, oh my God, I didn't think till years later, when somebody said the earth is flat, I didn't think of it. Now it's creepy to me. It's like, I just realized they lied about that. Oh my God.
So which order was that? The earth, the shape of the earth made you go back to 9/11, or 9/11 made you go to the shape of the earth?
9/11 was in my mind, and I knew it was fake. And then years later, when someone said about the flat earth, well, are you kidding me? And then it just dawned on me, it's like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how stupid am I? How stupid am I that not only are the media lying, but my school lied. All my schooling was a lie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I always knew that. Why would you have to stay in school for, like, how many years? 12, 13 years to learn nothing? I came away with nothing. I learned nothing. It's like...
you learned to obey.
Yeah.
Well, you learned something. I'm sure you learned how to read and write and count and do some basic math.
Probably learned that at home before I went to school.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, I said to my daughter, because she's all into the school, and, you know, they're doing the best, and I said to her, if tomorrow they said, everything you've learned is now in a different language, how smart would you be?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If everything you learned, now you have to learn it in French. What do you actually know? If you have to pick up a book and it's in French, have you actually learned anything? No. You've learned it in English, and that's all you've got.
Mm-hmm.
The story. End of it.
Yeah, well, I guess you're trying to equate that with fakeology in the sense that we've learned that all these authorities, the media, are to be trusted now, and if you're told that you have to discount all that, then what do you know?
But I think they're letting us know. I think they're telling us it's reset Earth. They're telling us that you should not go to college, because there's so many shows now that are saying that it's useless to get a degree. So they're telling you that school is useless, and it's putting out there in the media all the time. It's like they expose people, like they're exposing the pharmaceutical companies. They're saying they get kickbacks, and I'm thinking, well, they obviously want to tell you that pharmaceuticals are rubbish, because it wouldn't be on TV otherwise. There was a show about them going into the pharmacies and asking them what kickbacks they got. Now, they wouldn't do that if they were trying to protect the pharmaceutical company, would they?
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to tell us that we're going to reset Earth, and you're all going to have a guaranteed income, you're going to be driving around in electric cars, or get on the bus, because that's all we got for you, and you're going to be working in a factory.
Yeah, well, that's another topic, but yeah, I think university or higher education is not for most people, but we don't have factories anymore. We just have warehouses.
Yeah, there is, yeah, I know. See, you've heard about Belleville. They've got the casino there now.
Well, they have casinos everywhere. They have one in my neighborhood. They want to build a bigger one. Mm. So, you know, I am fundamentally, I'm not a religious person, but I have fundamental beliefs that are independent of religion. And I know for a fact that gambling is definitely evil.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the fastest way to lose your money.
And it's so sad, because the people that don't have money are the ones that go gamble, because they want to make their lives better.
And it's always the locals that lose all their money. No one is going to Belleville to gamble, except people that live in Belleville.
I know.
And basically, they're putting casinos every 10 miles or so. So you're not going to have to go very far. There's one at the airport. I just heard them advertise today at the Toronto airport, just around the corner. So, you know, that's a racetrack. No one watches horse racing anymore. The only way these people can keep their horse tracks going is to have slots and have people lose all their money there and basically pay for the horse stables and the track and the buildings and the heat and the lights and whatnot. So, yeah, basically it's just a tax on the stupid, sadly.
Yeah, I know. And the lottery, that is getting ridiculous. I don't know if you heard of Jurassic Liars. Have you ever...
That's a website?
Jurassic Liars. No, it's YouTube.
Oh, YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, it's into the names, and there's always a son on the end of these fake stories, or there's a man in it, or there's an ass, A-S-S.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've been watching the local stories, and I thought, oh my God, he's right. There's mm-hmm. always a son on the end. There was a local story here. I sent you some stuff, and I know it's like, oh, they're all over the place.
You sent me stuff?
Yeah, I sent you an email about stuff going on in Belleville.
I never got it.
Oh, no? Well, there was this one, and it was, just so classic. His name was Richard Vader.
Richard Vader? As in Space Invaders?
Richard Vader, V-A-D-E-R. Mm-hmm. And this guy from Jurassic Liars said there's always sexual or... bottoms in their stories, right? So
okay.
This guy was called Richard Vader, mm-hmm. which, if shortened, his name is Dick.
Mm-hmm.
His name is
right.
Dick Evader.
Dick Evader, okay, that's funny.
Dick Evader, right? So apparently, months before this story was in Quinny West. They call it Quinny West.
Quinty West, yeah, I know that area.
Yeah. They changed it to Quinny West. So Quinny West, this guy called Richard Vader, was on the loose, and he was running from the police, and he evaded them 4 days. And he was armed and dangerous, and he was running from them. He found an ATV, and when he ditched that was still running, he found a truck that had the keys in it, and he took that, and he evaded them 4 days. And even the dogs couldn't catch him. He evaded the dogs. This was for 4 days. And he was in Campbellford, he was in Belleville, he was in Stirling. For 4 days, they couldn't catch this guy. And right up the road from me at the school, they had pictures of the OPP with their rifles and everything else, and there was helicopters flying over looking for this Dick Evader for 4 days. And at the same time, this old guy went missing. They said he was 80 and he wandered away. So this is all in the same time period. So this Dick Evader, my son said to me, we went to school with him. And I said, oh. So he said, yeah, he was a nice guy. So this, everyone was frightened about this Richard that was going to invade their homes because he's armed and dangerous. On the day that they were, the last day they were looking for him, they went up the road and said to the kids, get indoors because this Richard Vader was on the loose. And he was from Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
So that night, I was in the garage and I saw lights in my driveway. And I opened it up, and there was an OPP card there. And he said to me, he came out and he showed me his cell phone. Have you seen this old man? And I said, no. So he said, he's gone missing. And I said, are you not looking for Richard Vader? And he went, who? And I said, my kids went to school with him. I said, you're looking for him, and you went down the road and told the kids to get off the street because he's on the loose. You're not looking for this Richard Vader? So I said, he could be in my basement. He said, never heard of him. So I gave him a dirty look, and he got out of his car, and he said, why are you looking at me like that? And I said, because I wonder why you came to my house. I said, why are you looking for an old man when there's supposedly this young kid running around, armed and dangerous, that supposedly beat his girlfriend up, and you're coming to my house looking for an old man that's gone missing?
Hmm.
I couldn't understand it. It's like, well, he'd never heard of it. And it's like, and the kids had said to their mum that there was OPP down the road months before this happened, getting the photograph taken. So it was set up before this supposed story. And then the Richard Vader, that supposedly was armed and dangerous, beat his girlfriend up, was roaming the neighborhood and was evading the police, Campbellford and Stirling and Warbridge Loyalist. He's been posting on his Facebook like months ago, and apparently he was supposed to have gotten 3 years for doing this. But he's already on his Facebook posting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what made me think it's not for us, it's not for the locals. Is for other people to read.
Mm-hmm.
Right? About these.
Right, because the locals know the truth that it's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not true.
So this was a real person?
Yeah.
Even though his name is sort of a play on.
Yes.
Words, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. They went to school with him because one of my daughter's friends was worried about this guy on the loose. And she said, you know who that is? That's Richard Vader. And she went, oh. So that's what made me think it's not for us. It's not for the locals. It's for other people reading it to think there are crazy young men out there with guns and they're going to, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that story never made it here. So doesn't that mean it is for the locals?
Oh, you never heard of it?
No, I never heard any of this stuff. So that story didn't make it outside of the Quinte West area at all.
Oh, so maybe it's the people that aren't from around here.
No, I never heard of it.
Hamilton?
That's a pretty damn minor story.
You should look it up because I Googled it today because my son was saying about, well, he's posting on Facebook. And I said, well, that happened 2017 in August.
Mm-hmm.
And they said he was done for 3 years. He was supposed to do 3 years, but probably did two.
Did you start this discussion talking about the lottery?
The lottery. That's a joke.
No, I was just I couldn't remember because you've been talking for a few minutes there. I thought you mentioned something about the lottery being fake as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. But there's a lot of people in Canada win the lottery lately, aren't there?
I have no idea because I don't really follow. I only look for the big lottery stories. There's lots of small lottery winners, but it's the big ones that I think are phony. Only because of the mathematics involved, they just can't come. The numbers just can't come up.
No.
They're just too rare for them to come up. It's just as simple as that.
But what would happen if if the truth came out, if it ever did?
Mm-hmm.
How did they cover up? Do they say it's fraud locally and blame them?
I don't know. I don't think any crime is being committed. People willingly give their money to a lottery, and it's just like a donation, really, to the state. What does it matter if it doesn't pay out?
That's horrible, isn't it?
Well, they do tell you the odds. And the odds are horrible, yet people still send their money. So,
yeah, only because people are purported to have won it.
Well, that's true. I'm not sure that's fraud, though. I think most of these hoaxes are done within the confines of the law.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
So there's nothing to prosecute. There's no one to prosecute for 9/11. Because nobody died, no one got hurt. So that's the best explanation why nobody's gone to jail. Because there's no crime.
Yes.
There might be insurance fraud, but there might not be. I don't know. I'm not sure Larry Silverstein collected $4 billion. I'm not sure that's a real story either.
Yeah, because if he was accused of it and he said, I didn't get a penny. So there's no story.
Well, he might have got a salary as an actor. Maybe, but I don't know if $4 billion went anywhere. Maybe, I don't know. I doubt he got it. He's just an actor, so I guarantee he didn't get the money, but there may have been a giant insurance fraud, but that might have been all through numbered companies, and how the hell are you going to figure out who got the money that way?
But I think that's, because money's secondary, isn't it? No, they're not doing it for money. I think that's like a red herring. It's like conspiracy
gossip. Candy, like,
yeah. Oh, they did it for the insurance.
Yeah. Like,
they didn't. I don't know why they do it, but...
Margaret, do you want to hear the rest of Velocet calling John Laws?
Velocet calling who?
John Laws in Australia.
Sure.
Did you hear... Have you listened to the fart podcast?
Which one?
Any of them.
They haven't done any lately.
Not in the last week, but no. Have you listened to the other ones?
The fart ones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you might have heard this then. You might have heard this call already.
Okay.
But I suppose I did have a break in my back.
Are you able to hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I've got all my wires working, so you can hear it on the call. And the callers can hear you, and everyone can hear you. The only problem is your voice is a little low, and I can't boost. I can't boost it. I have no way of boosting this channel, which sucks. But you can speak louder if you want. But we're going to listen to the rest of this, and then I'm going to have to go to bed.
Me too. What time is it now?
It's 9:39, and I was out all day. And it's when
I thought you were going to do a podcast at 8.
I am. You're on it.
Oh, okay. All right.
You're on the podcast.
Yeah, I couldn't find how to listen to it, so I thought I'll call in.
Well, that's fine. Let me tell everyone, if you want to listen to this show live ever, it's fakeologist.com/radio2. We broadcast on Radio 2, and the audio chats are on Radio 3. There is no Radio 1. I killed it.
Oh, did you?
Nobody was listening, so I turned it off because I had to pay for that. I turned it off.
Well, there must be a way to get you out there somewhere in Canada, because I was at Belleville Mall, and there was a sticker on there, and it said about, because they have, what's that thing where they look into your eyes?
Optometrist?
No, like, at the Belleville casino eye recognition thing.
Oh, you're talking about a retinal scan?
Yeah, yeah. They have that in Walmart.
They do? What the hell for?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
But what does that have to do with fakeologists? You lost me.
Well, it's not fake. Well, it is kind of fakeologists. It's like they're telling you they're going to look in your retina, and I think that the DNA testing, all that, it's not real. There is no DNA testing. It's just... Do you know what I mean? Like the retinal thing and the...
Well, I think there's a retina scan. I believe that. But if there's no such thing as DNA, there is such thing as digital blood tests.
No.
A digital blood test makes sense, yes. A computer can detect small amounts of this and that, whereas before computers, there were only coarse tests that could identify larger objects. But I think a computer... digital can measure small amounts of things, and my blood, I don't know exactly what makes O blood O and A blood A and AB blood A. Obviously, it's something to do with some of the proteins in the blood, because if you just to the naked eye, blood looks red. Is it? But something can check the proteins, and I think a computer can check even more proteins. So I think the proteins are unique, perhaps, or whatever it is in blood is unique to every single person. Okay? So I don't think there's any double helix.
I thought you were a fakeologist.
Pardon?
I thought you were a fakeologist.
Well, I am the fakeologist, but my point is, I don't think there's a double helix floating around.
No.
But we have, obviously, something in our blood that makes us unique from each other. So if we put our blood...
You think?
Of course.
Why?
Well, because we know that if I give my blood to someone who's not me, there's a high possibility, if certain things don't line up, that you will reject my blood. That's why only certain blood types fit in other people of different blood types. Mm. So our bloods are different. There's no doubt about it. Anyway. Well, yes?
Yeah, you've lost me there, because it's like I'm a fakeologist, so I have to question everything.
Yeah.
It's like if they can rely on computers to tell us what's in our blood,
mm-hmm.
why can't the computers be fake? It's like the DNA thing is.
I'm saying the DNA story is most likely a hoax. The actual narration, the double helix, the Watson and Crick story, that is the fakery.
Yeah.
But there it
But what why blood? Like, what do you think's in blood that's different?
Between me and you?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, actually, but I'm just saying there must be something different. Proteins, I don't know what it is that makes my blood O negative and your blood something else. And
well, I tell you a story. When I was in England, I used to donate blood. And then when I had my son, they said, you're OH negative. And I wrote to the people in England and said, well, how come you said I was OH positive? And they said, no idea. So they misread it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know what that means.
If you're going to rely on a computer to... you put blood into a computer and it tells you what it is? That don't make sense.
No. I'm saying that you can... A computer can sense... Not... Whatever the lab instruments are that detect the elements of blood.
Yeah, it's a computer.
Right. Well, there's sensors that can sense the elements of blood and see it in a very microscopic way and measure it. Say there's 1,000 elements to blood, for instance, that you can measure, whatever they are. Well, a computer could easily keep track of 1,000 elements, okay? And just say they're numbers. We're measuring this this material and that material. So now if we put that in a database where, for instance, your 1,000 elements have different readings, now we can put that in a database. Now, a normal, if you had thousands of people in the database, there would be no way without a computer to compare all those numbers. Think about it. To manually do that would be a ridiculous, impossible task. But because of computers, we can crunch all kinds of data quickly. So, for instance, if we want to do a quote-unquote DNA match, well, because we use a digital analysis of someone's blood by measuring whatever the difference, different levels of whatever is in blood, we put it in a database. It's as simple as having a computer compare all your thousands of numbers to someone else's thousands of numbers, and it can crunch it very quickly because it's a computer. That's what I'm saying when they say there's a DNA match. The DNA part is the fake part. The matching of the elements of blood is the real part. That's what I'm trying to explain to you.
No, no.
Okay.
No, you're wrong there.
What am I wrong about?
Well, blood is a liquid. How does a computer compute liquid?
Well, there are, when we do a blood test, if they, you can measure, there's different elements of blood. Do you think there's red blood cells?
Possibly, yes.
Well, you can actually see them under a microscope. Let me search CRX.me. The different elements of...
You're confusing me here, because...
There are many, many, many components of blood. Blood, by definition, is a fluid that moves through the vessels of a circulatory system in humans. It includes plasma, the liquid portion, blood cells, which come in both red and white varieties, and cell fragments called platelets. So there's... Do you agree there are elements of blood that you can actually see? There are cells, and platelets make up 45% of human blood, while plasma makes up the other 55%. Are you still there? She's gone. Let's play the rest of this Velocet call.
Ah, dear. That's not good.
Literally, no, it's not good at all. And,
well, as long as they took good care of you.
They certainly did that. St. Vincent's wonderful, wonderful hospital, thank God.
Anyway, the reason I called, this Rollo guy going on about there being no planes on 9/11, like, it's ridiculous, man. He's been listening to too much fakeologist.com, or, you know, maybe snorting too much cocaine.
What, maybe?
I don't know what the deal is. But listen, I know a guy that was in New York on 9/11, and he witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end. He was watching with his roommate five blocks away, and he saw this plane just come out of nowhere and ream right into the side of the towers, exploding through the other side.
Yeah.
And then he witnessed the whole towers collapse, one first, the other second, because the fire was just too intense. Like, how can you deny that evidence?
Well, you really can't, unless you're an idiot.
That's what I agree. If you can't take what that guy is saying as truth, you're an idiot.
I mean, we saw it happen, didn't we? We saw it all there in living colour. The whole damn thing, the whole catastrophe collapsing before our very eyes. People running down the road, debris all over the place, unbelievable winds where the building had collapsed. No, there was no way in the world it could have been fake. No way in the world.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the whole plane thing, that definitely happened. But look, I don't think anyone died or got hurt. You can't say people died or got hurt. And if you do say that people died or got hurt, you're a spiritual murderer. You are, in fact, a liar.
Why?
You can't claim that people died or got hurt. You're a false witness to death.
Hang on, no. I'm not understanding what you're meaning.
Well, if you claim that anybody died or got hurt on 9/11, then you're a false witness to death, and you're a spiritual murderer.
I see. So nobody died?
Nobody died or got hurt, no.
You are kidding. You are kidding. Joel?
Yes, John.
You're an idiot. You are kidding. You're telling me Nobody got hurt. Nobody died.
That's what I'm claiming. And if you claim that anybody died or got hurt, you're a false witness to death.
Well,
and you're a spiritual murderer.
I see. Well, what were all those people doing with their bodies totally covered up, stiff as a board, being carted away from that dreadful, dreadful catastrophe?
The people on the TV.
Yeah,
I saw George Clooney in space on the TV, but I don't think it really happened.
Well, of course it didn't, but now you're being absolutely ridiculous. Do you really think that anybody would have got away with faking that? Do you think that anybody would have got away with that?
I know. It's ridiculous, man.
Don't call me man.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, it is ridiculous. What you're saying is ridiculous. It's just, what you're saying is plain, ordinary, stupid. You're denying that 9/11 ever happened.
I think there were buildings that were there, and now they're not there, but that's about it.
I see. So what happened to the buildings that were there, and now they're not there?
Well, I think your last caller, Ben, had it nailed. I think it was, demolition, because war is just demolition and strategic relocation.
Okay, I see. So what war did that happen to be where this demolition took place? Two huge buildings just disappeared. That demolition in war, is it?
No, there's no war.
Well, you just said there was.
No, that what people think is war is just demolition. But there's no war. No one went and shot at anyone else.
Yeah.
The idea of people flying around in helicopters shooting at towel heads in the sand, doesn't happen.
No, doesn't happen. Anyway, Joel, I think, are you seeing anybody about your mental problems?
Yeah, Ab from fakeologist.com helps me out with everything in that regard. That's very helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Valisa.
I know that you ring me and then you record what you said to me and then you upload it. I know you do, up to all those tricks, but that doesn't matter.
It's an honour to be on your show. We're glad to have you on board the show. It's good.
Well, that's very nice of you to say so, Rollo. Now, would you go away?
I'm not Rollo, I'm Joel. Remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Joel, yeah. No, you're not Rollo. I don't know that there's much difference between the two of you, is there?
Oh, apart from the cocaine, but yeah.
Are you into cocaine?
No, I don't. I don't. I don't do drugs myself. I'm not my cup of tea. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, Joel.
It was good speaking, John.
Goodbye, Joel. Yeah, Rollo was the initial caller about 9/11. He runs some kind of podcast, doesn't he? And he uploads his rants on a site. And I think it's called fakeologist.com. He rings me and he records it and then he uploads it. So, in other words, he's having a lend of us. Go and make a name for yourself, Rollo, you halfwit. Don't use this program for your name making. Make a name for yourself. Go and do something worthwhile with your life. And I'll tell you what, recording this program and uploading it is not a very worthwhile thing to do. Anybody can do it. Who have we got there? Paul, are you there?
G'day.
Yes, Paul.
Hi, mate. I was just ringing up about the 9/11 thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is a conspiracy, but not quite. I think they actually did fly the planes in there, and it's a setup for the oil.
Say that again.
I think they did fly the planes in and everything, and the Americans flew out all the bin Ladens. They were all there, and it's a setup for the oil and to a payback for George Bush Sr.
Well, I've heard of some pretty unusual theories, but that one takes the cake, son, believe me. Set up for the oil. 1-300-564-652. A couple of texts here. Hi, John. Welcome back. And yes, there is a full moon this week. Lots of luck. Thank you. John, that clown can't even recall his name. Wanting feedback on the 9/11 delusions should immediately get the aluminium foil out and wrap his head in it to shield himself from mind control by government, aliens in the New World Order, as these paranoid types like to call it. And, of course, moon landing all done in Hollywood studios, they believe. Total goose, if you want my opinion. Regards, Rod in Newcastle. Yes, I do want your opinion, Rod, and thank you for it. G'day, Lozzie. I hope you're on the mend, mate. That Rollo makes, bloke just loves the sound of his own voice. I'm not sure how long you can let him talk, but let's say it was 5 minutes. You let him talk for 4 minutes, 45 seconds too long. I hope the day gets better, mate. Thank you. I hope it gets better, too. Hey, Rollo, I'm calling you to say you're a wanker. That's from Tim the blacksmith. Tim doesn't mince his words. 1-300-564-652. Now, Merv, are you back again?
I am indeed. What happened?
I don't know. Your telephone broke.
I didn't pay my bill properly. Okay. The reason I rang you was you've had a lot of people there talking about this 9/11 business.
Yep.
Now, I have friends in Connecticut who has a son, and he's married to a girl who used to work on the 82nd floor.
Okay, there's 11 minutes left. I'm out of time tonight. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. Thanks for Margaret from Trenton to call in. I appreciate that. And I appreciate everyone listening and supporting the site. I'll try and do these podcasts a little more frequently. I know I say that all the time and never do, but I'll be here now and then. I'm on the audio chat. And thanks for listening. And we're going to close it out with familiar Canadian ending of a show. Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, I see by the clock on a wall that it's time to bid you one and all goodbye.
Goodbye.
So long.
So long.
Farewell.
Farewell.
Adieu.
Adieu.
Be good.
Stay well.
Bye-bye.
Keep warm.
Relax.
At ease.
Take care.
Stay loose.
Adieu, mon vieux.
À la prochaine.
Goodbye till when we meet again.